Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Bob.
We'll get started this morning, all right? We're lucky to have Ray here. Ray is an excellent teacher. We're very blessed. I have to keep saying that we have so many excellent teachers in this body. We take it for granted, but if you go somewhere else, if they have four or five teachers, they're happy. Say, we run through four or five in a day around here. Amen? All right. Ray, who would you like to open you up, and I'll turn it over to you.
Ed, please.
Ed, Mr. Lindenbauer.
All right, Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we ask that you would that your Holy Spirit would be here today, Lord God, that you would pour your Holy Spirit upon Ray, and that he would speak your words that you've given him, Lord. We thank you for the time that he put into this, and Lord, we ask that you would bless him and the message in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I can tell you that it hasn't been easy. The last couple of days, I from work, I was in Chicago last week, Monday and Tuesday, and I said, fine, I got like a week and a half to go over my notes and everything. And then we get an email that we have to be in Chicago Thursday, Friday, and not come back till yesterday. So I had to go ahead and make sure that last week I had like a couple of days to put everything together. But anyways, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about unsung heroes of the Bible. People in the Bible that got used that sometimes are just mentioned once in the Bible. And we don't know why that is, but God knows why he chose that particular person or that time to go ahead and use that person. So this morning, the title that they gave me was When God Calls, Never Give Up. And I had two security things that I had with my notes. One was actually, I'm sorry.
Just real fast. Word of caution, anytime you're doing a teaching.
When God calls, never give up. In Acts chapter 12, verses 13 through 15. And says, Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, key word, when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. There were people there praying at the time, and their answer was this, you're out of your mind. They told her, when she kept on insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. Now, I went over this and went over it and went over it, and I was praying at it. You know, I wanted the Lord to speak to me. You know, what does this, or how does this apply to my life? Because we want to make sure that when we are reading the scriptures, and I guarantee you at one point or another, or what you're going through, it's going to minister to you. At least it should. When you're reading the words, the person doing the studying will get the most out of it. He gets the first initial reaction. Because when you're going through it, it ministers to you. So, three things that came to mind or that kind of ministered to me. But before that, we want to take note that in that area, in those homes, they didn't have windows or peepholes through the doors. So instead, the doorkeeper was expected to recognize the voices of the family or friends. Again, there was no way that, you know, the person that was going to answer the door can look through the door. It had no windows. You know, nowadays, all the doors have little peepholes you can look through and see who it is, right? And you decide whether or not you're going to open the door or not, family or friend, right? Sometimes we don't want those family members at that time. Sometimes you don't want the friends at that time, right? So I had my notes, but yesterday, I just before we sat down, I kind of wrote a note here that says, for the most part, we recognize people that we know or we have had or have a personal relationship with. Now, the first part of this is recognize, okay? I got a little story here, and I know that most of you, most of the people here can relate to this. When I was out playing with my friends or something like that, My mom had a whistle that she gave. Somehow, I don't know how she did it, but she would squeeze her bottom lips. And when she whistled, you can hear that for about a mile. Right? How many here had those moms that you just recognize that whistle or that voice? You knew who it was. It doesn't matter what you were doing or where you were at. You heard that whistle. You knew who it was and what it meant. It meant stop, drop, and go. Stop, drop what you're doing, and you better go. Because if you heard the second whistle, oh, you're in trouble. Yes. But
when you spoke of that second whistle, I can remember my wife going out on the porch and calling for the kids. And the other kids in the neighborhood, they had the same thing. They all came running because they were confused. They were checking to see if it was their mother because they all these kids would come running out saying, okay, who is it?
Yeah. See, and again, and the first part of this is to recognize. And I like Kenny was just saying, sometimes you would hear the other whistles, but you knew it wasn't your mom. So that's not for me. Because you recognize your mom's whistle. You knew who it was. One of the other moms or somebody else would yell, and like you would just keep playing. You ain't worried about it. But when your mom whistled, you knew it. And you could be sitting there, hey, how you doing? Hey, my name is Ray. You could be flirting left and right. You know? And when you heard that whistle, I got to go. You could be playing baseball and have the bat in your hands and get ready to hit that ball. And you heard that whistle, I got to go. Because you didn't want the second whistle, right? We can relate to that. A lot of us here can relate to when our moms either called you from the front porch, and again, you could be around the block, and you would recognize when it was your mom either whistling or calling your name. You knew who it was. Now, again, like Kenny said, the neighbors knew. They're like, yo, dude, your mom just called you. How do you know? Because I heard the whistle. Even your friends, like he said, a lot of times your friends recognize your mom's whistle. They got used to it. So again, it's about recognizing. John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And I wrote a note here for myself. It says, do we just say yes to any voice? When you heard that whistle, did I just run or just leave not knowing who it was? No, because if it wasn't for me, if I didn't recognize that call or that whistle, I was going to continue to do what I was doing because I didn't recognize it. I didn't know who it was. Or do we truly make sure that it's Christ's voice that we hear? There are Christians that say they hear or they heard from God and that he told them to do this or that, to go here or there. They take action without making sure it was him. They get no confirmation or seek no confirmation. They don't seek the pastor's advice. And I know that Bob and some of the people that have been here for a while have seen that happen often a lot. You know, well, God told me to do this and do that, and they just want to go ahead and do that without getting confirmation. A lot of times, even with the pastor's advice, they still want to go ahead and do what they want to do. Because you know why? They really didn't hear from God. We can see that they don't recognize or didn't recognize God's call because their results were not God's, their end results were not God's end results. And what I mean by that is God had a plan for us. And a lot of times we want to go ahead and say we hear from him when we didn't. We just hear from ourselves. Or we'll go ahead and hear from one of our friends or from somebody else. And I always hear that phrase, and I heard it at one of our sales meetings just this weekend. They say, well, you know, they're looking for the grass to be greener on the other side. You know what? Sometimes you're standing on the greener side. You're looking for the greener grass somewhere else. And a lot of times, you're standing on it. We're just so focused on looking everywhere else that we don't stop and look and see where we're at. We need to sometimes stop and see where we're at and recognize we're at the right place. We are where God wants us to be. In order to recognize, and I wrote this down, we have that personal relationship, or we should have that personal relationship with God, so that we can recognize when He calls or wants us to do something. Now, Rhoda, it says that she recognized Peter's voice. She knew who it was. She had apparently had heard him before. Right? When we hear somebody call, it's because most of the time we know who that person is. We can recognize that person. When Pastor Don calls me, I know who it is because I got a special ringtone for when he calls me. And I was going to play it. But there's a special ringtone. So I know it's Pastor Don without even looking at my phone. I know it's him. I recognize that ringtone, right? Or when somebody, I'm sorry, Bob.
Can I make a fast comment about recognizing a voice? Maybe 7, 8 years ago, our daughter flew in to town to see us in the airport. I went with my son to get her. And we're standing there, and I'm talking with my son. And this guy and lady comes up. They're about my age, young, and said, I hate to bother you, but I kind of recognize your voice. Did you used to be on Morphogenesis? That was the name of a radio show back in the 70s, early 70s, on public radio. And I recorded announcements and stuff. And from that long ago, and this was in the late, early 2000s, and she recognized my voice, and he did too, from that far back. Amazing. Well, how you can recognize a voice and not lose it.
Amen. But that's why we got to make sure that our relationship with God is where it's supposed to be, so that we can recognize, or should recognize, when it is Him that's asking us or telling us to go somewhere or do something specific. And sometimes it's not about going somewhere. Sometimes He's just trying to tell us, you know what, stay where you're at. I put you here. Stay where you're at. But in our own minds, no, you know, I don't like it here, or I don't feel comfortable here. I want to go somewhere else. And that's why I wrote down that their end results, or our end results, will show that we didn't listen to Him. Because I guarantee you, and I know Pastor Don and some of the people that have been here can testify to that, people that they've known that said they heard from God, that God told them to go somewhere else, and their lives are miserable. Their end result is not what God wanted them to do. And it shows it. Luke 9:44. God speaking to His disciples, He tells them this. Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. He tells them, just listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. In other words, listen to me. This is what I'm going to tell you. Okay? When we go to the pastors, I need advice on this. Okay, they're not going to give us advice that's going to hurt our lives. They're not. God would never do that either. Their advice to us is for us to be better Christians, to move forward, to move on, to grow. Okay? So that's when it tells us, listen carefully. He told them, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. In other words, pay attention. Because a lot of times we say that God speaks to us, but we don't stop to listen to what He's telling us. We'll hear the first part. Or part that sometimes we just want to hear. Or the parts that we think we like to hear. We don't want to listen to the whole message. We just want a part of it. The stuff that makes us feel good.
We like to pick and choose.
Exactly. Exactly. Just like some Christians will go ahead, and even some religions will just go ahead, pick scriptures that will justify their actions. Well, the Bible says it's okay to do this. Well, you didn't read the whole chapter, bro. You have to read the whole chapter to see what God was trying to tell you, or like Pastor Don says in our teachings, who He was talking to. You got to read the whole chapter, the chapter before it, that chapter, and the chapter, and sometimes all the chapters, to know what it is that God was really trying to say. But a lot of people, they'll pick and choose scriptures to justify their actions. Isaiah 45, verse 6. So that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. This first part of this was about recognizing. She recognized who it was without even seeing who it was at the door. She recognized his voice. Just by his voice, she knew who it was. She didn't stop to ask. She didn't question it. She knew who it was. That was the first part, recognize. The second part is believe. Rhoda believed it was Peter. She didn't doubt it. Why didn't she doubt it? She recognized his voice. She knew who it was. There's no doubt. When we have that personal relationship with God, and he speaks to you and he tells you something, and you have that intimate relationship and you know it's really him, and you, because you recognize who it is. Somebody out there that you don't know will call you something like that. You're going to keep walking. Why? You don't recognize who that person is. You just keep walking. Hey, Ray, I'll just keep walking. I don't know who that person is. But when you have that relationship with Christ, with God, and he calls you, you recognize that voice. You know exactly who it is with no doubt. John chapter 2, verse 22. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken. Remember, the second part is about belief. John chapter 5, verse 24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged by his, or but has crossed over from death to life. It's believing that when God really calls you and you recognize his voice and you have that relationship, we have that relationship with Christ, we need to believe that it is him that's talking to us. He'll show you. He'll open doors. He'll direct you. He's never going to tell you to do something, again, that's going to hurt your life, your Christian walk. He loves us. That's why he gave his only son for us, for every single one of us. That's how much he loves us. I got on here, even though we can't physically see him, we can see everything he has done in our lives. Every person in this room has something to say about how God did something in your life. I said this before. Bob gave a little story earlier. I talked about how I was in Chicago, and unfortunately, he was in Chicago and got locked up that day. Okay? So, no charges. Well, that's what he says, I mean. So, we can't physically see him, but if you look around, you can see how he moves. In our lives, things that he's done in our lives, and people that we know, that we can physically see with our own eyes, changes in their lives. Those are miracles. That's something that we can, that's something tangible. We can see his results, what he has done. We can't physically see him, but we can see everything he does. That's a sign to us. A lot of people see, well, you know, God, you know, I haven't heard from God. You know why you haven't heard? Because you're not paying attention. Again, he says, listen carefully. We have to listen. That's key. We have to listen. When he's talking to you, hey, that's what he told his disciples. Listen carefully. Pay attention. Listen. A lot of times we're so busy and caught up in everything else that we're doing that when Christ sometimes is trying to talk to us, hey, listen, I'm trying to talk to you. I'll be back. Just give me a minute. I'll be back. But wait, I'm trying to tell you something. I'll be back, Lord. Just give me about 10 or 15 minutes. I got to take care of something. I'll get back and we can sit down and talk. We do that. We do that. And that's what we go back to. Then our end result is not his end result. Okay? And we have to believe. And again, the word is believing. She believed. These are three things that popped out at me. This is the second one. She believed it was Peter because she recognized who it was. God shows us every single day things that we need to do in our lives. He speaks to us through his word. And he tells us what he wants us to do, where he wants us to go. Okay? And I know that Eddie, a lot of times when he said he was teaching to the youth, he says, he grabs the Bible and says, you either believe this is true or not. And everything in the Bible, all his word, is truth. He is truth. It's not a fairy tale book. It's not just a history book. It's his word. So we have to believe that everything in his word is true. Okay? And when we accept Christ, we believe and accept that he sent his son to die for us. We have to believe that. We believe that with our hearts. That's what creates that relationship, because you know what? I believe that this is what he did. I believe that he rose dead. That everything in the scripture, you believe. It's not fake. It's truth. Mark 9:23. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for one who believes. So is believing important? Yes, it is. Very important. Everything is possible for one who believes. Just like Rhoda, she didn't doubt who it was at the door. She knew it was Peter. She was so happy. She recognized him. She went running. She believed who it was. She didn't question it. She believed. Now, the other people in the room didn't believe. And it's funny because they were actually praying that he be freed. They were in the room praying. And when Rhoda ran and said, look, Peter's at the door. They're like, you're crazy. That's not Peter. It is Peter. It's Peter. I'd recognize his voice anywhere. And we say that. And we honestly, truly say that we recognize God's voice anywhere. Or when we are somewhere, we just don't want to accept that it's Christ talking to us because of where we're at or what we're doing. Sometimes we're somewhere we're not supposed to be. Sometimes we're doing something we're not supposed to be doing. And when Christ wants to try and talk to you, you don't want to listen. The third part, persistence. Verse 15 says, she kept insisting. Rhoda did not give up, even when everyone else said she was crazy and they didn't believe her. But Rhoda did not care. She knew it was him. She was not going to stop sharing the good news no matter what. In our lives, in our walk, and I'm sure this has happened to a lot of us, we're trying to minister to somebody. We're trying to talk to somebody that doesn't know the Lord. And they look at you funny. Or they tell you flat out to your face, I don't want to hear it. I don't have the time. I'm too busy. They always give excuses because they don't want to hear God's truth. Now, do we give up? A lot of people do. A lot of people do. A lot of people give up. That's it. You know, I don't know why, what I was thinking to think that I can just go ahead and share God's word. Nobody's listening. They think I'm crazy. And they give up. This is a great example. She did not give up. It didn't say that she kind of just took her time walking. It says that she ran. That she ran. She was so excited that she heard his voice that she ran to share who it was at the door. That's how we should be. That's an example for us. We should run to share the good news. We should run to share what God has done in our lives. Testimonies are great. A lot of times we don't want to share our testimonies. Testimonies are great. You know why? Because especially for those people that we knew in the past, and now you can talk to them and they can see, or at least should see, a difference in your life. They should see a big difference in our lives. So we can share with them how God has changed our lives. And again, the key word is persistence. Not to give up. To continue daily, every single day, to share God's word. It's a beautiful thing. While we're sharing is something precious. And I tell you what, when I'm out on sales sometimes, because the product that I sell, I try it. I take it home, I try it, I eat it. Because when I go talk to the customers and I'm telling them about this product, they can see that I know what I'm talking about. They can recognize and they believe me because I know what I'm talking about, because I tried it. I'm living it. I know the product. So when I'm telling them about it, they're sold. You know what, bro? I'll try that. And I'll be at a supermarket, and I'll be standing there, and somebody be looking at it, and they're not sure what they want to buy, and I'll kind of just walk, talk to them and say, hey, have you ever tried this product over here? Never heard of it. You haven't? Well, let me tell you what you can do with it. Within 2 minutes, they are starving. Because, oh, you can grab a tostada, and you can grab a refried beans, and you can put it right on, and you can do this, and you can do that. And next thing you know, they're putting stuff in the buggy. It's going to be Mexican night at my house tonight.
You're making me hungry right now.
Again, because, right, I'm persistent. I'm not going to give up. It's sales. I'm in sales. Right? You got to be persistent. You just don't walk away. Right? So I'm not interested. No, but wait a minute. Let me tell you this. Right? Until you get that sale. Right? Same thing. When we're sharing God's word, I tell you what, if you're living it, it'll show. I guarantee you it'll show. If you're into your word and you're into your prayer and you're into your fellowship and you're going to church and you're involved in everything, when you go minister, those key words, to recognize, they'll recognize who you are. They'll believe what you're talking about. Because you're persistent in sharing God's good news. This story, when Bob first gave me this, someone like Rhoda, it's like just 3 verses. What am I going to do with this? I don't know who Rhoda is. I'm looking. Let me see. How many times is Rhoda in the Bible? Once. But when you start getting into the Word, God will start showing you different things. He showed me 3, and I'm sure there's a lot of other things in there. But he showed me that she recognized, so we got to recognize. You got to recognize. You better recognize it. Right? You better recognize. All right? So she recognized who it was. We need to recognize when God is calling us. Second one, we need to believe. Believe his word to be truth. To believe when God wants to use you to do something, believe that God is going to back you up 100%. Never question whether or not, when God tells you to do something, he is going with you. He's not going to just send you. He's going to be there with you. Every single step of the way. He's not going to just step back and let you try it alone. He'll just stand right there. Go ahead, son. I gave you all the tools you needed. I'm right here, though. I got your back. He never leaves us. No matter where we're at, he's always there. So you have to believe that. So we go back to the third part, persistence. To keep pushing God's word. Keep making sure that the world knows who he is and what he's done in our lives. Every person in here has a story to tell. Every person has a story to share with the world. And a lot of times, don't know just by looking at you, or should know just by looking at you. I'll finish up here shortly. We were going to the missions trip, and I went to a friend of mine, the owner of Armando's, Omar. And I went to him, I said, I gave him the sheet. Omar, this is where I'm going. This is what's going on. He said, okay, I'll tell you what, come by my office tomorrow and we'll talk about it. So I go to the next day to his office, and his wife is there. I don't talk to his wife a lot. I've seen her here and there. I've never really dealt with his wife. Very nice lady, but I've never dealt with her. So I walk in, and he's sitting at his desk, and she's standing to my right, and he says, she goes, well, what is that? He goes, well, Ray's going to Mexico on a missions trip. So she goes, you are? I says, yeah. She goes, what are you guys going to be doing? So I tell him, well, that's what we're going to be doing. And she stops, and she looks at her, and she goes, you know what? There's something different about you. There's something different about you. You seem at peace. Praise God for that. That's not Ray. Peace? No. That's all Christ. My wife can testify to that. That's all God's doing. That's not my doing. That's all His doing. So when she said that, you know what? That's the greatest feeling. You know what? Thank you, Lord. Because you're changing my life so much that people can see that. So I think I needed like $150 to finish up the total for my trip. So he looks at her and goes, honey, what should we do? She says, give him a check for more than what I actually needed. That's all God's doing. That's all He's doing. Don't get me wrong, I was persistent. I kept making sure that they saw that. And I showed that to everybody. Again, it was persistence. Rhoda, no matter what people said, she did not stop. They called her crazy. It's not him. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. No, you know, that's not how you really are. Yes, it is. Yes, this is me now. You know why? Because I have Christ in my heart. I have God in my life. I am different. He does do things. He does do miracles. I'm standing here witness to that. Every single person in this room can testify to that. Look back where you were 10 years ago. Would you be here now? Half of us probably wouldn't even be alive. Either locked up or drunk or whoever knows what. These are miracles that God still does every single day in our lives. I see that with Roger every time me and Roger go somewhere. We're at the Band of Brothers. And Roger's like, oh man, if he, Jesus, forgive me, Lord. That's a miracle. Because I guarantee you 10 years ago, he wouldn't have stopped. Roger? Beth knows. She would have been like, oh my gosh, what's he going to do now? Those are miracles. That sometimes we're waiting or looking for this grand thing, but we need to stop. Like he said to the disciple, stop and listen. Stop and look and see where you're at now to where you were before. God's working in your life step by step, but He's doing it. We have to be persistent. Again, like Rhoda was, sharing God's word. I got a few more little scriptures here now. I'll finish up. Even when the world may seem heavy and no one wants to listen, we don't quit. We remind them how much God loves them, that He is real. They should see the excitement we have for Christ, just like Rhoda was when she heard Peter's voice. She was so excited she forgot to even open the door. That's how excited she was. Peter was still knocking. Hello? Anybody? Hello? But she was so excited to share the good news that Peter was at the door because she recognized who it was. She believed who it was. And now she's persistent in sharing that he's at the door. Again, she was so excited. That's how we should be. We serve a living, powerful God. We shouldn't walk around with our heads down. Yeah, it's another rough day. No. No. We should be, they should see that excitement in us. How you doing, brother? I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. I'm in church today. Because 5 years ago, I probably would have been a bar. Today I'm serving God. And you know what? You know what he did? The other day I was trying to talk to somebody and I led them into the Lord. Or I was talking to somebody else and they just started weeping because they started hearing how much God has changed my life. And they said, you know what? I want to be like you. I want what you have. That's what people should say. We should be excited about serving Christ. It's an excitement. We shouldn't walk around with our heads down. We should walk around proud with our chest high. He's our healer. He's our protector. He's our provider. He gives us what we want. I'm sorry, what we need. Not what we want. What we need. He's always there for us no matter where we're at. He'll be there for us. He'll be there for you. He's always there for us. He just wants us to be persistent in sharing that with other people. We shouldn't give up no matter what they say. If this person doesn't want to accept it, fine, go to the next person. If that person says you're crazy, you say amen. I'm crazy for Jesus. I'm going to the next person. And you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going, and you don't give up. Because I guarantee you this, every single time you do that, God is with you. Now, that person might not accept Jesus at that time, but you don't know what the end result is going to be. We just need to be obedient to his word. And I'll finish up with these verses. Mark 5:26-28. Talks about a woman who had been sick for 12 years. But as soon as she heard that Jesus was in the area, nothing stopped her from getting to him. She was persistent. She made her way through the crowd. Verse 28 says this, if I can just touch his cloak, I will be healed. She was persistent. She wasn't going to give up because in her heart she believed, again, there was the word, she believed that if she can just touch his cloak that she would be healed. That's persistence. There was a crowd, but she was going to get to him no matter what. She recognized who it was. She believed who it was. And she was being persistent in getting to him. Again, nothing was going to stop her from getting to him. That should be our life. Nothing is going to stop us from getting closer to Christ. No matter what it is. There's a lot of things. I tell you what, the enemy is going to throw darts left and right to try and get you to go a different route. I don't feel like going to church today. Rebuke the devil. Get up, go to church, and I guarantee you God's going to heal you or do something in your life. There was one time I didn't feel good. I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to stay home. But I said, no, you know what, I'm going to rebuke the devil on that one. No. Because, and I kind of, that story jumped at me because I said, you know what? I believe that as soon as I get to church, I'm going to be healed. And I felt bad. I mean, I was just like, oh, my body's like, I tell you what, praise God on this one. When I got to church, I got up on the praise and worship team, and I started playing, and we were in the praise and worship team. All of a sudden, it hit me. How do you feel now? I didn't feel sick no more. Those are miracles. That's being persistent. God wants us to be persistent in following him. That in our persistent prayer and trust in the Lord, he will help us through the difficult times. And I'll end with this verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Persistently seek him. Again, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So those words are very important. Again, recognizing when God's talking to you. Believe that he's going to be with you no matter what. And be persistent in drawing closer to God. And I guarantee you, I promise you, that God will use you. When I send notes out, reminders to the prayer team, my reminder my note to them was, you know what? Tomorrow God wants to use you in prayer. It's not just, you know, you're on a team. No, God wants to use you in prayer. You never know what God's going to do. We just have to be obedient to his word, and we'll see how God's going to use us. Amen? That's all I got. Amen.
All right, give
Don't
my
forget
hand.
Prayer when we go downstairs. Amen?
Amen. All right, thank you, Ray. That was great. One thing I did neglect, I forgot to mention for the breakfast, that Ashley and Carmen also were nice enough to help out this morning. Is Carmen here? She's in there helping out again. All right. Ashley, get in there. Ray, who would you like to close, brother?
Ricardo, please.
All right. Good choice. Good choice.
Father, thank you for this awesome word. Father, we ask that you bless the word that we're coming to hear next, Father. And, Father, I just ask that you bless everybody in here and that they all have a great weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Angelic music there.